Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
Thanks for joining us and welcome back to the Dead Parent Club podcast.
Each week we're going to be talking about what it's like to be members of the Dead Parent Club and also chatting to brilliant guests about their grieving journeys.
We'll also be hearing from people far more qualified than us that can give you some top advice on navigating this new normal.
So welcome everyone to the Dead Parent Club.
Now today we are going to be talking about changing friendships. Now this is another biggie, because not only do you change yourself after a parent dies, but so might your friendships.
Yeah, you might find people don't know what to say to you, they don't know how to be there for you, or they could completely surprise you with how much of a good friend they've become.
Yeah, and I felt this is another big conversation that a lot of people have a lot of experience with, so I'm hoping we'll cover as much as we can around this topic. So let's dive in.
I feel as though this is one of those ones where I didn't want to overthink it too much before we came into it, because I feel like it's going to come really naturally as soon as we start talking about it. I feel extremely lucky in terms of the friendship group that I had before my mum died, and I've obviously, you know, gained friends, which I'm lucky to have gained some wonderful friends as well, but I have a lot of the same best friends I had before. What about you, Kat? Did your friendships change? Maybe not straight away after your mum died, but maybe it was quite soon.
Yeah, it's so hard, you know, like I said to you before we started recording this, like it feels like such a long time ago since my mum died, and those kind of obvious changes in friendships feel like they didn't happen, even though they did. But then how we said before, you know, how you change yourself after a parent dies, I do think that just kind of naturally then stems into a change in friendships and a change in dynamics that can then take a number of years to kind of settle into. So I feel like now, looking back, now everything feels kind of normal and fine. Whereas I know if I suddenly put myself back in that position 5 years ago, I'd probably be a bit like, oh God, my friendships are all over the place. Nobody really cares about me and everything's terrible. It's funny how perspective can kind of cloud how bad things actually were at the time.
It makes you, I think, well, not everyone, but it made me, I was more sensitive, far more sensitive. And so if I felt that a friend maybe wasn't there for me in the way I wanted them to be there for me, oh, well, they're not being a good friend. No, they are being a good friend. Like more often than not, they were being a good friend. It's just that I had this expectancy that they were going to know what to do and that they were going to know what to say to me. And when they didn't, I was hypersensitive to that. No, they were being a good friend in their way and how they are a friend, if that makes sense. And I understand more with time and age now that actually my sensitivity to if someone didn't bring my mum up or it didn't feel like they wanted to go into detail about it, that was more because they were uncomfortable because they didn't know how I would feel about that. And I'm not saying that they're right in doing that, but that was also not a place for me to be upset with them either, just because of that. Does that make sense?
No, 100%. I think you have lots of different types of friends after a parent dies. So like you have the friends that you can have open conversations with, you can be really honest with, you can turn around and say to them that you're feeling the lowest you've ever felt with. You have the friends that kind of text you and they're like, I'm thinking about you, I hope you're doing okay. They send you flowers and you really appreciate the friendship, and you know that if you wanted to go out for lunch, you could go out and have a nice time, but you wouldn't talk about your parent and you wouldn't talk about how much pain you're in. And then I think you've got friends who unfortunately, I think every single, well, not every single person, a few minor people have this. I know from people messaging the Instagram group that some people unfortunately have that experience with friends where they are kind of purposefully not understanding, for example, saying things like, you know, oh, are you still talking about that? Have you gotten over that yet? And that kind of thing. And I think having those kind of friends must be really tough. And I think both you and I, Emma, have been in a really privileged position where we've never directly had that. You might have had friends where you've kind of felt like they were probably a bit sick of you talking about it, or that could actually just be yourself being paranoid. I think a lot of the time it is.
Yeah, we worry that because our thoughts are so consumed with the loss of our parent and we want to talk about it, that, oh, maybe they think that we're talking about it too much. But actually, you know, I don't think that's a legitimate concern that you should have, because for as long as you want to talk about the loss of your parent or whoever it may be, your carer, whoever it is you've lost, you have every right to do that. So my foundation, my fundamental friendship group has stayed as it was, pretty much, with a few wonderful additions. And they have been, I truly mean wonderful. Like, to this day now, like, even when it's my mum's birthday or my mum's anniversary, and we're talking 13 years down the line, they still text me. They still get me little gifts or things that remind me of her. They still say, do you want to visit your mum's grave? I'll come with you. They still ask, what are you doing that day? And I feel so honoured. But there was a time when I met new people who did not have that level of understanding. And I think I've said it in a previous podcast where I was upset about my mum, and one of these girls said, well, at least you've got your nana. And if you're going to say at least, then it's, you're not being a good friend. Yeah.
Say nothing. We've said it once, we'll say it again. Nothing good comes after the words at least.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. And yeah. So I think I have gained a bigger filtering system when meeting new people. So and that has come with a lot of time and perspective and experience of friendships. And I don't know whether that would have happened had my mum died or not, but I feel that because I've probably become a deeper person, I very quickly, after I've met people, think, how does this person make me feel? Do I feel light or do I feel heavy? Can I trust this person? Would I want to trust this person? Will this be a deep friendship or a superficial one? How much do I want this person in my life? How much am I prepared to share with them? And if it's not a lot, that's okay. And it's about not feeling forced or obliged to be friends with somebody or maintain a friendship that isn't necessarily serving you. I think that it's accepting that, okay, I've changed, and either you have changed or you haven't changed, and for whatever reason this isn't working for me, and it's okay to change my mind. It's okay to say you are no longer bringing the positivity or whatever it was into my world, and I'm not okay with this. And because life is too short to constantly feel obligated when you shouldn't.
Yeah, 100%. I think for me, I think about who I was and the friendships that I had before my mum died. And I was a self-confessed, like, friendaholic. Like, I just wanted to be friends with everyone. I was very, very uber sensitive when somebody didn't want to be friends with me, or if I kind of wasn't invited somewhere, or I had lots and lots and lots of superficial friendships. And then mum died, and then I was like, oh, like, I think a lot of people do suddenly feel very, very alone and isolated, no matter how good your friendship group is, because you do suddenly feel like, oh, I'm the only one that understands what I'm going through. But then from there, I think that's the really dark point, I think, where a lot of people message the Instagram group and they're like, I feel so alone. I feel like my friends don't understand me. And I feel like that's just, it's temporary. It's always temporary, because as you grow older and as you get to know yourself and you get to know your grief, you handpick a few essential people in your life that become like your like lifeboats. And I think that's where good thing is in grief, is that you get really valuable friendships rather than loads of just really crappy superficial ones.
It also made me evaluate myself as a friend.
Yes.
With perspective, with time, because initially, like I say, I was hypersensitive, and whether that is just an age thing, that there was this expectancy that, hang on, I'm upset about my mum and I want you to behave this way towards me and you're not, so I'm upset about that. Where as I've got older, I look into myself and I think to myself, am I serving my friend? If I was in their situation, am I bringing to the table what I would want them to bring to the table for me? And I think that that can, and I don't mean that you have to spend your life going, is my friend all right? You know what I mean? What I mean is when they come to me with an issue or a problem or a query or a question, it's made me take a step back and think, okay, what does this person want out of this? Do they need reassurance? Do they need me to just listen? Do they need a solution? And I think that level of understanding, it allows you to realize that actually friendship, like with all relationships, people don't know exactly what you want or need. They're all second guessing and navigating your grief, really, in a similar way. And I'm talking about good friends. There are certain friends who, if people are shit to you, you know in your core and your heart, you go, no, this person's not good. Get rid of them. Seriously. Those are not the kind of friends you want. But if there are like your mainstays and they're there for you and you know they have pure good intentions, but sometimes you feel sensitive, just remember that they're probably trying to work out what you want.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I had a really similar sort of realization. I don't know how long ago it was now. I spoke about it on the podcast. It might have been like over a year and a half ago, where some of my friends that I had previously been really, really close to, I'd suddenly drifted really far away from. And they weren't the kind of friends that I did actually want to lose. They weren't the kind of friends that I was purposefully shutting off. No, I was purposely out there because I didn't think they were valuable. They were actually friends that I wanted in my life and they'd provided me with a lot of comfort and support. And I sat there one day and I was like, I've actually really fucked up here and I'm the one to blame because I've spent so long in the kind of deep depths of grief that I was taking and I wasn't giving anything back to those friendships. Like, friendship is a two-way street. And I think sometimes, and, you know, to no fault of my own, really, because I was in such a bad place and I was so depressed, but I let it go on for so long that some of my most valuable friendships were suddenly non-existent. And then I was like, crap. And then you kind of have to work on building those back again. But it was a really big realization for me to be like, oh, like, they're not bad friends. I'm actually the one being a bad friend right now. And that can be a bit of a shit thing to realize, but at the end of the day, grief does take up so much of your life and can happen with family, it can happen with relationships, and you suddenly realize that you haven't been providing those people with the value that they need as well.
How did you approach that to kind of regain those friendships?
I had a few really awkward text conversations.
Did it take a while to get them back, or was it kind of like, because I imagine if they were good friends, if you explained openly and honestly, there was probably a level of understanding and actually respect that you'd come to them and recognise that.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. But I think also the thing with good friends is that when you've built something so high, then it's fallen so far, it takes a lot of building to get that back to where it was. So I definitely wouldn't say that those friendships are back to where they were before. But I do think that's also because I'm older, I'm different. Life has a lot more pressures now than it did when I was 20 years old. Things were a lot easier then, despite the fact that my mum had died. So I think it did feel good to know that those people are very much still there for me. And I was glad that I was able to go back to them and reassess what I had done and kind of go back with my tail between my legs and apologise.
A huge respect to you for being able to do that, because I think it's quite, sometimes it's really daunting when you realise that you've lost something wonderful to you and that maybe it's partially your fault. It's daunting and it's really brave, actually, Kat, to go, okay, I recognise my role in this and I'd like to apologise and build that back up, because it takes work, it takes effort, and it takes a level of self-awareness. So I respect you for that. When you look to make friendships now, well, are you open to making friendships or are you less open to it now?
I would say that I'm definitely open to it, but it's so weird when you kind of assess your friendship situation and where you're most likely to make friends. So I'm definitely, I think I spoke about this previously, I'm more likely to make a really strong friendship with a stranger that I instantly have a connection with and I instantly know that I can have deep conversations with them and be completely open than I am to be on like a night out with people that I kind of know of. I'm less likely to build friendships with people that I know than I am to make friendships with people that I didn't know previously. But I think a big part of building friendships now is, and like we've spoken about this so much before, is how you change so much as a person. So what you liked doing before, going out drinking loads and going out partying and kind of having those kind of like every time you saw a friend that had to be out, now I value the friendships that I can be like, do you want to come over for a brew? Like, when I look at friendships now, I'm like, would I invite them over for a brew one-on-one? Would I just want to go out with them in a group situation? And that's where they differ, I think. What do you think?
In terms of making friendships, I'm very open to making friends. Mm. But like I say, my core, my friendship group has remained the same. Mm. I know I go on about how lucky I am, but even in the early years after Mum died, I did feel I probably hid how sad I truly was and then cried when I was drunk. But life was happening. Uni was happening. Again, drunk was happening. All of us girls had a life to live. And, you know, I was getting on with that, but this grief was building and building. And then as I've got older and I've been more honest with my friends, and I mean like raw honesty, they know me. They know me inside out. They know parts of me that I would never reveal. You know, they really do. And with that honesty, they have then found a level of respect for the choices I make. So, for example, if we're going out and I say to them, I don't feel comfortable drinking this weekend because I don't think it's good for me, they wholly respect that and they will drink, but they're respectful of the fact they're not going to put me under pressure to have a drink. They're going to make me feel perfectly comfortable. And that makes me feel safe. That puts me in a safe, I'm in my safest environment with that group of friends. And I feel as though, again, I've been fortunate in that, you know, I could handpick them and go, I would actually just sit and have a cup of tea with you and a chat, and I would go out with you. I would do this with you. And we're all comfortable in doing all of those things with each other. But I also think our friendship group seems to have suffered a significant amount of loss as well. Since my mum died, we've had friends that have passed away, family members that have passed away. It's been really intense, like, for my friendship group. In actual fact, my sister-in-law said, I remember her saying, your friends seem to have suffered more, like a huge degree of loss in their lives. So I wonder if that is why we're all sort of leveling out with each other. Does that make sense?
100%, because I think the difference with my friendship group is that the majority of my friends haven't experienced any severe losses whatsoever. So when it comes to talking about grief and death and the really nitty gritty stuff, like just how down I was after my mum died, they actually weren't the people that I turned to, purely because I was lucky enough to have a friend who I started the podcast with who had experienced death of a parent. And I think there is something, when you meet somebody else who has experienced a huge loss like that, there is just this really calm understanding between you both. Like, it's like magical. I literally think things just like working and connecting, and it's like you just have this really mutual respect for each other when you're like, God, you've been through shit, I've been through shit, we can have really open conversations about this from the get-go. And there is not, I actually don't think there's anything better than meeting somebody who's experienced something similar to you.
You're right, because it changes you in a way, in such a unique way, really. Because although it changes people in different ways, it's a real unique thing that when this happens, you go, oh, wow.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Kat, have you seen, I know I've seen this, obviously, I lost my mum when I was 18, and none of my friends at that time had had this significant loss, right, of anyone. But over the years, as they have, unfortunately, suffered those significant losses, I've watched them change. Have you seen people change? Because I have watched them change as people, and I have felt a deeper level of understanding and connection with them because of that loss.
Yeah, so I don't have loads of friends that have experienced sort of huge losses. One comes to mind more recently. Her mum died last November. And I even see it. I saw her a lot in the months following that. And I haven't been able to see her as much over the last couple of months because her life has picked back up again and my life has picked back up again. But I even see it on social media, just the things that she posts about, like she's reading more, she's going out more, she's walking more. And she didn't do all of those things before. And like, she's like sharing the love that she has for the people in her life more. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, she's changed. Like she has. And it's such a weird thing to see. I remember saying to her in the months after her mum had died. And I was like, there's like a group of like young grievers and we're all holding these like torches of like fire. And it's like whenever somebody new like joins the club, you like light their little torch. And then suddenly there's just like all these people dotting up everywhere who are all holding the same flame and who all understand how you feel. And it is like, it's like you're a proper tribe of just people that just get it.
Do you know, it makes me, right, this podcast, the ultimate aim is to help you. You listening right now. And it makes me really sad that you might be listening and thinking, I don't have a friend like that that I can count on or that I can turn to. So Kat, I'm going to ask you a question here. For the person listening to this now, how would you describe a good friend so that if you're listening, right, and this person that you're friends with or the people you're friends with don't tick, you know, a lot of these boxes, you know that maybe it would be good for you to seek friendships elsewhere.
I think a good friend is somebody who validates how you're feeling. So if you're able to be honest with them and say like, oh, I'm just feeling really crap today. And they say, that's totally okay. That's understandable. You're going through something really, really tough. That is a good friend rather than somebody that says, oh, you can, I don't want to say you can get through this because that's not a bad connotation, but I think just somebody that accepts how you're feeling and who you are. And also what we were saying before, if you've got a friend that you can invite over for a cup of tea and feel comfortable, even if they're not a really, really close friend yet, but you feel comfortable enough doing that, I think something can grow from that. Because if you feel comfortable in a one-on-one situation with somebody inside where you're not distracted by meals out, music, TV, like, and the people around you, and you can actually focus on each other one-on-one, really amazing friendships can be built from that, I think. And also, if your friend is open with you, if you know somebody who has come to you for things, and you really think back and you think, wow, they were really open with me when they talked to me about that, that is them inviting you to be open with them too. Because it does take two to tango when it comes to talking about tough times. But I'd say those are my top three. But what about you? Do you have anything different?
I'd just add two things to that. I would say understanding. Mm. You know, and by understanding, I mean that they don't have to have gone through what you've gone through, but they can see that it is something that would cause you great pain and something that they are prepared to sit and listen to you talk about a lot for as long as you need to. And in a similar way to inviting them around for a cup of tea and feeling comfortable with that, someone that gives you that space, space to be solely you, to go, this is me unapologetically. I don't have to put on a front. Take it away. You be you. And, you know, when you listen to this and Kat, you'll know this, and I touched on it earlier about things that make you feel light and things that make you feel heavy. If a friendship makes you feel light, it means it's right for you. Mm. If it makes you feel heavy, it's probably not. And that is, our gut does tell us, because even though, you know, sometimes we want to hear things, I know I do, you want to hear things to almost tell you whether what you're thinking is right or not, you know, to give you that reassurance. Yeah, I was right in thinking that. But I think your gut tells you, I don't think this person's being a good friend, or I think they are, don't you?
100%. Yeah, do you know what I do? We've talked about this on a previous podcast about what my dad does when he's having a conversation with somebody and has to plan this conversation. I know if I'm not a very good friend with somebody, if I've planned me up with them and I have a little bit of social anxiety in these situations where I will write a list of things in my head of topics that I know that I can talk to them about. So I know that I am nervous and not comfortable around this person if I'm trying to pre-plan the conversation in my head because I'm so scared of that awkward silence. Mm. I think if you're able to meet up with somebody and not have a structured conversation in your head pre-planned, then they're probably a good friend.
Yeah, no, but you know what? You're right. Like, I don't think it's just you and your dad that do that. I think that is a thing where if you don't know somebody that well, you think, oh, what's the common ground that we can talk about? Mm. What things do I know that have been going on in their world that I can talk about? But actually, the people who are your best friends are often the ones where, of course, you don't have to think about what you're going to talk about, but where you can sit in silence and it's okay. Because actually, I often feel as human beings, we want to fill this, and I'm as guilty of it as the next person. We want to fill silence for the sake of the other person. But the other person is also probably as equally okay with silence. It's just that we're both thinking the other one isn't okay with silence. So we need to fill the silence.
Panic.
And it's, but like when you live with someone, you don't talk constantly with no gaps. And that's because you're comfortable with them. But and that's how people around you ought to make you feel. You know, that the people you pick. Yeah, the people you choose to be around you, in the same way I'm sure you make them feel comfortable. Like Kat says, easy. That's how it should feel.
Emma, what's one thing when you're kind of looking back over the 13 years since your mum died? Is there a certain instance that comes to mind where you were like, God, I've got some really good friends here. Like, thank you.
There have been so many occasions where I've been taken aback by it. But they really have, actually. You asking that question has made me think of so many occasions where they've rallied round to sort of, they've clearly communicated between themselves. Mm. And even more recently, and this might sound like nothing to you, right? I spend a lot of time away from home with my work. So every weekend, because I work in football, I've been going to London for filming. And particularly during COVID times, that's meant I'm in London alone. I go to work, I come back, I'm in a hotel. You know, for a huge chunk of that, things weren't open, nothing was happening. So I was literally just there alone. And it was one of my best friend's birthdays. And this was in more recent times when you were allowed six people around anyway. So she's got a bar in her garden that her husband's built, and they were all there in the garden getting drinks from the bar and stuff. And I'm sat there in bed at night doing my work for the next day, and I got a FaceTime off one of them, and they were all there, and they were all just kept me there as if I was part of the party for ages. Aww. And in the end, I was like, girls, I need to do my work. But it was amazing. And do you know what? You might be listening to this now going, oh, what's the big deal about that? It was completely unplanned and unexpected. Mm. And it meant everything to me. They went, Emma can't be here to enjoy this moment with us after so long. She's in London on her own. Let's get her involved. And it's like that's not a single, that's not the only thing they've ever done. They've done so many things. But more recently, you know, it served as a reminder that it made me feel like an integral part of that friendship group. It made me feel heard. It made me feel seen. It made me feel loved because they want me to be there. What about with you?
Well, I think one big thing comes to mind that my friends from uni did for me. So I graduated a year after all of my friends because I knew that my mum was going to die at the start of my third year. So I suspended the year and went the year after. And obviously graduation is like a big thing when you're leaving uni, and it's when all the families are together. And it was something that I remember my mum shouting at me when I told her, because my mum never talked about the fact that she was going to die. She was very, I'm not going to die, blah, blah, blah. So when I'd said that I was intercalating her year, my mum was quite angry with me. And she was like, I'm going to be there to see you graduate and all this kind of stuff. And obviously she never was going to be able to do that. So when it did come to my graduation, I was a bit overwhelmed and apprehensive, and I was just very, very upset my mum couldn't be there. And my three friends from uni, whose graduation I'd obviously been to the year prior, they'd all got full-time jobs then. One of them was a teacher, and they obviously I'd invited them, and I was completely understanding when they were like, we can't get a time off work, we can't come, because it was a weekday. And I was like, that's fine. Like, I just completely accepted that truth, and I was lucky enough to have a lot of family there. Anyway, I had my graduation ceremony and I'm feeling quite emotional. I walk out and there's like crowds and crowds of people, and I see this massive pink sign saying like, well done, Catherine, on it.
Oh my God.
And my three best friends who had been there for me for that whole year that my mum had died, they were all there. And they always laugh when if we talk about it, because they were like, you literally fell to the floor. Because I literally just dropped like to the floor, and I was just crying, because it meant the world to me that they knew how big of a deal that was to me. And just seeing them felt like home. It felt like they felt like family, because I'd been with them through such a tough time. And that is honestly one of the best moments that I will remember forever. And we're really lucky because one of the Lancaster photographers actually caught the moment that we all hugged on camera. Yeah, it was one of the best moments of my life, definitely. And I think, wow, get friends that would do that for you, because one of them was a teacher and she called in sick.
I love that. Can we share that photo, that moment that the photographer captured on the Dead
Parents Club? Yeah, I'll definitely dig it up.
Because that 100%. Is amazing. Yeah. And also, the picture you painted of that there is the most warm, wholesome thing ever. Yeah. Like, they are the kind of friends you want in your life. I want to hug those three friends and be like, wow, that is so... But it's even, like, you think through that and you go, they've spoken amongst themselves. They've all recognised how much this means to you. Yeah. They've spoken, they've gone to great lengths to make sure you know this is your day, we're so proud of you, we're here for you. And that is exactly what friendship is. So
100%
get yourselves friends like them and mine.
if you haven't got them yet, don't beat yourself up, yeah, and feel lonely about it, because life is a journey, and like, relationships come and go, friendships come and go as well, until you find the right ones. And they do say, like, you know, friends are the family that you choose. So don't stick, choose there is the big word. Don't stick with people that don't make you feel good. Like, go out there and go to places where that you're interested in as well. Like, if you like climbing, go climbing. If you like walking, join a walking group. Like, whoever you are now, whoever you've turned into, find groups of people that have those similar interests to you and go and find some friends.
Yeah,
like,
so
you
true.
Can do it.
Yeah, you're not a tree. You don't have to stay where you are. You can literally, no, we're not though. Like, I always think that. I always think we aren't rooted here. Like, we are allowed to move. And like we said earlier, you're allowed to change your mind. And also, you know what? If someone isn't being a great friend to you, you don't have to explain why you don't want to be friends with them anymore. Yeah. You just don't have to be friends with them. And just finally, don't feel that if you don't have a group of 10 people you can turn to, that you don't have a good friendship group. Yeah. I tell you what, some of the best friends are, you know, when it's one or two friends. Like, that's all you need. If you have just that one person who you can vent to, be honest with, laugh with, cry with, do all those things, feel fully validated, supported, and like, they have a space there for you, that's all you really need.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And we just really hope that this episode has been some comfort to you. If you've been in a similar situation, you've had similar feelings, if you've had crappy friends, if you've had really good friends, I hope that you found something that resonated with you when you listened to this podcast.
Yeah, and if there's anything else that you've heard in this that you'd like us to talk about or touch on, or any questions that you have, remember, you can always get in touch with us.
Yep, you can drop us an email at hello@deadprankclub.co.uk. Find us on Instagram @deadprankclubpodcast, and we're on Facebook and Twitter.
Thanks for listening. See you soon.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.